Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
As we get into the Word this morning, I want us to continue with the message that we started on Wednesday that I entitled The Other Side. And so again, we are reminded that in this season, we are all facing I believe just this tremendous feeling of being swept away, this tremendous feeling of being burdened, being confused. Some people have hope in this season and some are hopeless. And so I believe it's kind of it goes hand in hand with the scripture that we were reading on Wednesday, that we've been taken to a certain place outside of our control, outside of, you know, us being able to, you know, kind of, you know, have a handle on the elements around us. And when we're taken from those places, when we are moved out of our comfort into areas of no control, it can be a frightening thing. It can be a thing that you worry about. It can be a thing that you get anxious about because you do not see how you're going to get through the situation. But this morning, I'm here to remind you that we have an almighty God and that we serve in a God that can save us, church. He is mighty to save. And so I want our faith and our trust and our hope to be solely in Him. Amen? But none of us possess the answer that is medically, physically, or even mentally to control a circumstance and a season like we are going through today. And so the question of the hour is, when are we going to make it to the other side of this pandemic? When are we going to get across this thing and this will be a thing of the past and it'll be a thing that is behind us? When are we going to get out of this season of isolation? None of us has ever had to experience a season like this in the history of the world. And the Bible teaches us that there is one, though, with experience on getting to the other side. And that one that I am speaking of has not only gone to the other side of storms and uncontrollable circumstances, but he has also gone to the other side of everyone's greatest fear, and that is death. And the Bible teaches us that the one who gave up his life for our sins by dying on a cross was the very one who made a way for us to cross over to the other side of eternal life in heaven. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? His name is Jesus. And so this morning, I'm sure that I'm speaking to somebody. I'm sure that I'm speaking to people who have gone through their fair share of circumstances and trials. And so if you've ever gone through a tough season in life, then I believe that you'll relate to this story that we found in Acts 27. And so I want to quickly recap. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Acts 27. And I'm going to just kind of paraphrase and just kind of catch us up to speed. We find out that Paul is in prison on this ship. And Paul is now a prisoner. He had been in prison for preaching the gospel. And so Paul finds himself as a preacher of the gospel amongst a group of prisoners on this ship. And the Bible says that one day they had set out to sail. And as they set out to sail, they were, you know, being, you know, everything was fine until this huge storm came and it began to blow them off course. It began to move them so strongly that the Bible says that they let the storm drive. That is, they had no control whatsoever about which direction they were getting blown. It was just pushing them out. And in fact, it was pushing them out further and further from the shore. And so Paul finds himself again in this place where, you know, I could venture to say that he probably didn't think he deserved to be there, but he found himself there. Again, he didn't deserve the punishment, but again, he was in this boat. And so the Bible records that when this hurricane force storm began to rise up, it pushed them so strong that they rushed to try to, you know, reinforce the boat. They got their ropes and they threw them down and they tried to tie them under the bottom of the boat so that just in case the boat, you know, hit some rocks or whatever, it wouldn't be dashed apart. And so they went into panic mode. The Bible says also that they began to throw cargo overboard and they began to try to find ways to lighten the load so that hopefully they would make it through this storm. And that's often what panic does. That's often what, you know, worry does, is we do things that we would never normally do because there's this fear that we cannot control. There's this fear that comes into our life in that moment of uncontrollable circumstance, and you don't know how to handle it. You don't know which way is left, right, up, or down. All you're trying to do is just scramble and hope that you're going to get to the other side. And so the Bible says in Acts 27 and verse 20, it says, when neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, he says, they finally gave up all hope of being saved. Talk about a tragic storm. Talk about an impact of a storm that had so much control over them that they gave up all hope of being saved. I don't know where you're at in your heart today, but I could venture to say that there's going to be people that are going to come across this message that feel exactly like these men felt. You've given up hope. You don't know. You cannot see where the outcome is going to get to. You don't know if it's going to be 2, 3, 4, 5 more months. We have no idea. We read the news or we hear the news and we see, you know, different reports about when COVID-19 is going to come to pass and all that kind of stuff. But really, that's not the thing that we are, you know, as much worried about in this season. And that even shouldn't be the priority of our focus about when it's going to end. But I believe in this season, we must realize that when you're comfortable, like we were a month or so ago, and things were going fine, that's usually when seasons of great testing emerge in your life. That's when all of a sudden the season shifts and it begins to reveal exactly where you have placed your trust, exactly where you have put your hope in. Charles Spurgeon says this. He says, trials teach us what we are, and they dig up the soil and they let us see what we are made of. Circumstances have that way of revealing where your trust lies. And church, I'm here to remind you that God permits us sometimes to go through fiery situations to reveal where our trust lies and how he can be trusted in the fire and how he can be trusted in the storm. And so I can imagine to say that many of you have felt captive during this season, not just because you're stuck at home or not because you're away from family, but you might feel imprisoned to whatever the storm might do. This is exactly what Paul was going through. He was completely imprisoned to what the storm might do. And he knew that many in his time, back then, he understood something about these people. He understood that somebody in that boat was going to have to be the voice of encouragement. That somebody in that boat was going to have to be the one that spoke up to these people. And you know, the truth about this is that the Lord has this perfect way, church, of redefining our focus in circumstance. Sometimes we think we were going the right direction or we were headed down the right path. And the Lord has a perfect way through trial to refocus you back to that purpose. Jesus knew that many in his time, they were taught only to help those that could help them back. And Jesus says to them, that his identity or your identity as a child of God would be revealed through the action. That is through the love, the care, and the help for others. Jesus said this in the book of John, verse 45. He says, for that will reveal your identity as children of your heavenly Father. It says, he is kind to all by bringing the sunrise to warm and rainfall to refresh whether a person does what is good or evil. What he was saying was this, is he was saying that you who know me, this is how you are to live. Doesn't matter if you find yourself in the same boat as people that you don't agree with. This is how you are supposed to live. This is how you're supposed to reveal your identity. And that is by loving, that is by blessing, that is by praying for others that can do absolutely nothing for you. Paul could have thought a little more highly of himself than he actually was, because he was an apostle. He was someone whom the Spirit of God had rested upon, and Paul did so many awesome things for the Lord by this time, but yet he finds himself in a boat of prisoners. He had a great opportunity, church, before him to be a believer, to be a person that showed his world in that storm the very love and the power of this God that he had come to encounter. And I'm here to remind somebody this morning this, is that if you find yourself in the same boat as the world, maybe it's because the Lord wants to use you, just like he used Paul, to be one that would release those captives. To be somebody that would actually stand up in the middle of that storm, stand up in the middle of those captives and speak a word of hope. Zechariah 9 and 12 says, "Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope." He says, "Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you." And so our purpose is this. It's to bring hope in that boat. It's to bring hope in the midst of that storm that you find yourself in. It's to speak life, church, to dead hearts. This is the will of God. He's saying to be bound to hope, to be the God, to be within and to be place yourself with the God of hope, to be the voice of the very God of hope in your circle, in your sphere, in that place of you know, influence that you have over your coworkers or over your family members. And so don't lose the connection of knowing that the only life source that can bring you and I hope is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And so this leads us back to our first point last week, was that Paul kept encouraging others. After several days of shock, these prisoners found themselves not eating at all. And the Lord begins to speak through Paul in Acts 27 and verse 22. He goes on to say, "Now I urge you to keep up your courage, not because any one of you will be lost, but only the ship will be destroyed." You see, Paul was appointed to that ship as a messenger of hope. He was going to be the very one that God appointed to be in that storm as a voice of hope, as a testament of somebody that knew a living God. And I want to remind you, church, to not miss your assignment to be an encouragement to somebody. Don't miss out on the assignment in this season that we are living in. Because somebody is within an earshot of your voice and they need to hear from you. Amen? I said they need to hear from you. Paul's words of encouragement was, listen, be strong, be courageous, because not one of you is going to be lost. Only the virus, only the storm, only the situation will be destroyed in Jesus' name. Amen? And so this is what Paul encouraged the ship to do. He encouraged them in that moment. He encouraged those that he was in prison with that they were going to make it to the other side of this storm. And church, I want you to be an encouragement to somebody. Listen. You have the opportunity to encourage somebody and say, we're going to make it to the other side. You can be a voice of hope and a voice in a world of darkness. You can be a voice of hope, church, to a place where people are hopeless. Matthew 14 and 27 says, Jesus tells them he had just finished walking above a storm. And the disciples were also in a boat at this time. And there was this storm that was raging on. And Jesus spoke to them these words. It says, immediately he says to them, take courage. It is I. He says, do not be afraid. And dare I say that there's times that sometimes it feels like God is not near us. Sometimes it feels like God is somehow really, really far away. He's not close to you at all. But in this instance with the disciples, we find out that Jesus wasn't in the boat, but he was actually walking on top of the storm. The powerful truth behind this, is that in both instances, he proves that the storm had no power over him, church. And I'm here to remind somebody today that the storm has no power over you as a child of God. Amen? The second thing that we had learned was this, is that we need to learn to stay in the storm. The common reaction from everyone is to want to abandon a tough circumstance. It's to want to just flee from that area of pain, that thing that you're going through. Acts 27 and 29, I'll skip up to verse 30, it says this, "And in an attempt to escape the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow." It says, "Then Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved.'" You see, leaving the situation that God has permitted us to experience is never a good idea. I said it's never a good idea. Paul was told by God if anyone wanted to be saved, that they had to stay with the ship. James Packer, an author, says this. This is the ultimate reason, from our standpoint, why God fills our life with trouble and perplexities of one sort or another. He says, it is to ensure that we shall learn to hold him fast. It's the reason why the Bible spends so much of its time reiterating that God is a strong rock and a firm defense and a sure refuge and a help for the weak, is that God spends so much of his time showing us that we actually are weak. That is both mentally and morally, and dare not trust ourselves to find or follow the right road. He says, when we walk along a clear road feeling fine and someone takes our arm to help us, likely we would impatiently shake him off. He says, but when we are caught in a rough country in the dark with a storm brewing and our strength spent, he says, and someone takes our arm to help us, we would thankfully lean on him. And our God wants us to feel the very same way, that our way through life is rough and it's perplexing, so that we may learn to lean on him thankfully. He says, therefore, he takes steps to drive us out of self-confidence and to trust in himself, to trust in the classic scriptural phrase. It says this, for the secret of the godly man's life is this, is to wait on the Lord. It's common for us to want to abandon trial, church. But God has proclaimed the way, and there is no other way that we could be saved. I can guarantee that every single one of us wants to see this virus and this storm come to end. I can ensure you today that you can find hope through Christ, and find hope through Christ alone by staying in the storm. Because out of every storm of life, there is an arm and there is the hand of the Lord reaching out to you to become your rescue. Amen? And so God is doing something in your family. God is doing something in your midst. And all you've got to do is take a hold of his hand. I believe that the Lord is preparing you for his greater purpose in your life. The Lord is speaking to your heart today to take heart, to take courage, because the Lord is with you. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Paul had the faith that God would get them to the other side, but do you? Are you believing that the Lord is going to rescue you? Are you believing in the one who has stretched out his arm from heaven so that he could pull you up, so that he could pull you out of this circumstance, so that he could save you and rescue your life? Paul knew this very thing, that if they abandoned that ship, they would be leaving the very covering of God. Psalm 91 says this, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This is what staying in God's will and covering will do for your life. Do and does your soul find rest in the shadow of God? Have you made him your refuge? Have you made him your strength? Or do you find yourself restless outside of his plan, outside of his will, and outside of his love? This is the question for the day. As we continue to the second part of this series that I've begun, Paul knew, church, in order for him to make it out alive and to cross over to the other side, that he had to take in what God had provided for them. Let's read this in Acts chapter 27, starting in verse 33. It says, just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he says, you have been in constant suspense and you have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Verse 34 says, now I urge you to take some food. He says, you need it to survive. He says, not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. And verse 35 says, after he said this, he took some bread and he gave thanks to God in front of them all. He then broke it and began to eat. And it says they were all encouraged and they ate some food for themselves. Why don't we pray for this, just continue part of this message. Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you, God, for your power. Lord, for just speaking through us, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just speak mightily through me. Holy Spirit, strengthen me. Holy Spirit, flow through me. And Lord, may every single word of my own, Lord, fall to the ground, Lord. But let every single word that is yours, Father God, just be received by every heart and every listening ear this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I want us to look at what was happening in these in this passage of Scripture. If you notice, it says that no one was eating. That is, they were in this state of euphoria, a state of depression and hopelessness. It was literally a state of shock. They thought it was all over. They completely had given up hope. They thought there was nothing that was going to get them to the other side. And Paul all of a sudden encourages them to eat, and he gives thanks to God, acknowledging where their help had actually come from. Now, I want us to notice something. This was for their survival. I believe that not only was this for their physical being and wellness, but this was also to point them towards the Spirit of God who would deliver them and get them to the other side. And there's so many things, church, that we can do in the natural for our own survival. But there is a chasm, and I want you to understand there is a separation that no one can reach across except by the Spirit of the Lord. That is, wealth cannot get you to the other side of this gap. Health cannot get you to reach the other side. Family and friends cannot get you to reach the other side. Intelligence or popularity cannot get you to reach the other side. There is only one way, and there is only one bridge, and there is only one man who has crossed from the natural to the supernatural to enable you and I to have the same and get to the other side, and that is this. His name is Jesus Christ. He alone is God, and he alone is the Holy Spirit. And so Paul, who had encounters with this Spirit of God, he acknowledges in front of these prisoners, and he begins to thank God for the meal. Now, this is a powerful, powerful act. You see, Paul didn't acknowledge their wisdom for taking food on the ship. Paul didn't even reason with them. He thanked God. He thanked the Lord in this moment because God had provided something for them. And what's interesting to me is this, is that they had food amongst them all along. That is, they had opportunity around them this whole time, but they couldn't see what had been provided. They could not see the answer that had been next to them the whole time. They had not eaten a thing for 14 days. And I have to tell you this morning, there are still people in this world today who are completely spiritually famished. They are starved because they cannot see the bread of life unless somebody raises it up and gives thanks to God and declares that God has provided a way for them. Amen? And so that the way would be that hopelessness wasn't the only option. I said that hopelessness wasn't the only option for them, and it's not the only option for you and I now. And I'm sure that I'm speaking to someone today that is standing on the either side of hope. That is, you are either hope-filled or you are hopeless. You are either hope-filled. If you are hope-filled, then take that bread of life. Take the very word of God. Take the very provision. Take the very things that the Lord has blessed you with and lift it up for all mankind to see and begin to thank God for what he has given you in this season. Begin to declare the goodness of God, because somebody needs to know, church. Somebody needs to know that it wasn't just by their own strength. It wasn't by their own wisdom. It wasn't by them being a good person of preparation, but it was by the very hand of God that they are sustained today. This is your assignment. In the middle of a hopeless world, this is your assignment. To lift up the very bread of heaven. The Bible calls his name Jesus. To lift up the very bread of heaven for all men to see and say, this is the Lord. I thank God that he came to earth for our sins. I thank God that he has bridged the gap so that we could be forgiven. I thank God today that his Holy Spirit is resting and is in my life so that I have a life that is hope-filled and it is not hopeless. You see, church, somebody needs to hear that message. But if you are the one, if you are the one that is hopeless, then know and understand today that what brought those captive prisoners hope wasn't the fact that they were going to eat a meal. It was partaking of the satisfaction that only God can provide. You see, it was actually eating more than just a meal. It was receiving God literally into themselves. And little did they know in that moment that what they had eaten in the moment, it had the ability to break them free to the other side of the storm. You see, church, it was more than just bread. And the Bible says that as they began to eat, they were encouraged. And maybe you need encouragement today that receive this Jesus into your life right now. Receive what he has done into your life. The fact that he loves you, the fact that he cares for you, the fact that he says, listen, I have not abandoned you. I have not left you without hope. In fact, I am the very reason for you to have hope. All you have to do is place your trust in the Almighty Savior. You might say, well, I need more than that. I need more than just bread for today. Jesus, back in his day, he often showed the Father's love throughout various miracles, whether it was healing of the body or it was multiplying of food. And in fact, one day the Bible says that there was crowds and they were waiting for Jesus, and they had actually just crossed over to the other side of this lake, but Jesus wasn't there with them. And they're looking for Jesus, and this huge crowd had formed, and they saw the disciples', boat pull in, but they had not seen Jesus. And so they concluded that maybe the disciples, had left him behind, and, he hadn't made the journey to the other side with them. And so many people were actually out at this point searching for Jesus. And when they finally found him, they asked him, they said, "Teacher, how did you get here?" And Jesus replied, he says, "Let me make this very clear." Because right before they had crossed over, they had received a huge miracle. He had multiplied food for thousands of people. And Jesus is, they cross over to the other side of this lake, and Jesus isn't there, and they're all waiting. The line is formed. The followers are ready, because guess what? They probably wanted some more bread. They wanted another meal. And Jesus said, "Let me make it clear. You came looking for me because I fed you by a miracle." He says, "But not because you believed in me. Not because you actually believe." You see, church, many will choose Jesus because of what he can offer them today. For what he can offer them in the now. That is the meal. That is the provision. That is the miracle of the day. But what Jesus and the Father are more interested in is you choosing Christ for what he can offer you for an eternity. It's not just about the day. It's not just about receiving what we can get today, but it's also about receiving what he has given us for eternity. Amen. John chapter 6 and verse 27 says this: "Why would you strive for food that is perishable and not be passionate to seek the food of eternal life, which never spoils?" He says, "I, the Son of Man, am ready to give you what matters most. For God the Father has destined me for this purpose." And they replied, "So what should we do if we want to do God's work?" And Jesus answered, "The work you can do for God starts with believing in the one that he has sent." They replied, "Well, show us a miracle so that we can see it, and then we'll believe in you." Moses took care of our ancestors who were fed by the miracle of manna every day in the desert, just like the scripture says, and he fed them with the bread from heaven. "What sign will you perform for us?" "The truth is," Jesus said, "Moses didn't give you the bread of heaven. It's my Father who offers bread that comes as a dramatic sign from heaven. The bread of God is the one who came out of heaven to give his life to feed the world." It says, "Then please, sir, give us this bread every day," they replied. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Come every day to me and you'll never be hungry. Believe in me and you will never be thirsty. Yet I have told you that even though you've seen me, you still don't believe in me. Verse 37 says, but everyone my Father has given to me, they will come. And all who come to me, he says, I will embrace and I will never turn them away. And I have come out of heaven, not for my own desires, but for the satisfaction of my Father who sent me. Verse 39 says, my Father who sent me has determined that I will not lose even one of those that he has given me, and that I will raise them up in the last day. It says, for the longing of my Father is that everyone who embraces the Son and believes in him will experience eternal life, and I will raise them up the last day. You see, right now your focus could be on getting out of the boat that you are in today. It could be on getting to the other side of COVID-19. Just end the storm, God, that we're experiencing right now. That could be the very daily bread that you're asking God for. Just make it stop. Just make this season just finish. And right now Jesus is saying, I could feed you for a day. Or you could choose to believe in me and be fed for a lifetime. The difference is this, is choosing the temporary meal versus, you know, for the imperishable meal that Christ offers us. You could choose the meal that'll feed you for a day, just for a moment. And Jesus is saying, listen, if you partake of me, if you take me inside of your life the way those prisoners on that ship took in that bread and found encouragement, then you will find life not just for today, but forevermore. You will find life every single day that you go to Jesus. And Paul understood that. Paul got that in the middle of the boat when he said, now I urge you, in Acts 27:34. He says, now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. You see, this wasn't just survival for the boat. It wasn't just survival for the moment. He says, not one of you is going to lose a hair from his head. After he said this, he took that bread and he gave thanks to God in front of them all, pointing to the very source. It says, then he broke it and he began to eat, and they were encouraged and they ate some food themselves. This wasn't a meal for the moment, church. This was a meal for a lifetime. This wasn't just for the temporary, but this had way more meaning. It was for the eternal. Something else that is noteworthy in Paul's thankfulness is that his thankfulness and his upbeat, his positive attitude, his glorifying God in that moment changed the whole atmosphere of those who were imprisoned on that boat. The Bible says they were encouraged. And maybe you need to be that person in the midst of your family. Maybe you need to be that person in the midst of your workplace. Maybe you need to be that person on your social media feed, wherever it is that you go. And you need to be that very person that has a thankful attitude towards God in this season, because I guarantee it's going to change the attitude of those in the same boat with you. Amen? And so if you're listening today, be reminded that your thanks will change the temperature in that storm. It has the ability to change the temperature and change the atmosphere around you whenever you are going through a trial. Many times situations like these will cause us to be frozen in shock. I get it. People panic all the time, and people just, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do in the moment. They don't know how to react to something that they've never seen. But I want to encourage you today to muster up thanks and praise to God. Because when you do it, it will change how you and the others around you will survive this storm. Amen? It will become your outward declaration that God is good and that the Lord is faithful. Now, I want to remind you today. I want to remind you, believer. I want to remind you, church of God, that your world and everyone around you is watching your every move. I said, they're watching how you react. They're watching how you respond. Your family, your children, your friends, and your peers, and so on. Amen? And so just like everyone saw Paul break that bread and all were watching him give thanks, so our world is watching us in this moment as well. Philippians chapter 4, I love this verse. In verse 4, it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all that the Lord is near. I love this. That means the joy and gentleness are the evidence of the Spirit of God living in your life and having dominion and control over your life. And while this is probably one of the toughest things to do, let me tell you why giving thanks to God is important during the storm. James chapter 1 and verse 2 says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." He says, "Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." He says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything." Another translation reads like this. It says, "My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can." He says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking." While we're all just hoping for this storm to finish and to end so that we can move on, it's actually the process of the storm that provides something that you can never gain otherwise, and that is joy. That is a restored hope and joy inside of your life, church. We need to agree to stop cursing our crisis and start seeing trials as opportunities for joy. As opportunities to have the very Spirit of God inhabit our circumstance and inhabit our midst and restore joy back into us, back into our life. You see, no one likes what storms make us feel in the moment. And though God is compassionate, His focus isn't on what you feel as much as it is on what will be birthed inside of you because of your perseverance in trial. The Lord is growing you right now. The Lord is teaching you something right now. The Lord might be stretching your faith to a level where you say, "God, it hurts. God, it's uncomfortable. God, I don't know about this. It seems difficult, Lord." Or if you don't have faith at all, then the Lord is that very arm that I mentioned that is reaching down to you in this moment. But I need to encourage you this morning, church. What we gain in this storm is as valuable as getting to the other side. I said, what you are gaining right now in this moment is as valuable as what you will gain when you get to the other side of it. And for those men in the boat, the very spoken word of thankfulness to God was releasing a joy that strengthened them for the storm and from the storm. It would not only be strength in that moment, but it was going to be the very strength that they were going to need to get to the other side of that storm. Because you might as well be excited that in this pain and in this moment and in this, you know, feeling of being, you know, feeling anguish or weariness or worry and the sleeplessness that you are experiencing, I want you to understand, church, that it is producing something inside of you that's going to carry you through life until there is absolutely nothing lacking in your life. That there is nothing missing and there is nothing broken. And I can testify to you this morning, church, that this season for me personally has been a very challenging one. Not only for what I've gone through these last 3-4 years. Everything from seeing my father-in-law, our pastor, you know, diagnosed with liver cirrhosis and battle this thing. To seeing my own dad battle pancreatic cancer who is now in heaven. And this season that almost seems like a wooden end hasn't led me to a place of bitterness. It hasn't led me to a place of having no hope. In fact, it's led me to a place of greater trust and greater joy in God. Knowing, church, that He is in fact good in all of His ways. Knowing that He works out for those of us, for His children, for those of us in the midst of circumstance and trial, He works out everything for our good, church. And right now, somebody that is listening to the sound of my voice, you are feeling like you want to turn away, like, "God, it's too much. The pressure is too great. The anxiety and the worry, Lord, I'm not sleeping. I'm not resting." Listen, Jesus is your joy. Jesus is your rest. Jesus is your peace in the storm. But you've got to turn to Him. You've got to hang on to him. You've got to grab on to him. I believe that just like Paul was able to lift up that bread in the middle of that ship and acknowledge that God was his deliverer and that God was his strength and that God was his hope, you can thank God that you are alive today, church, to acknowledge his goodness and receive strength through joy. And you can turn, you know, to the Lord in all circumstances. But dare I say, somebody in this moment wants to turn from God, and you are bitter and you are hurt and you are weak. You say, Pastor Duke, it's hard. I have too many questions. I'm too, you know, worn down in my body. Listen, the Bible says that when we are weak, he makes us strong. That when we are poor, he makes us rich. That we were once lost, that he searches for us and he finds us, church. I have found in this season that the Lord has strengthened me. He has lifted me up because I called upon his name. And when everyone said, you know what, Pastor Duke, it's the end, just write it off, you know, you can kiss them goodbye, you could just, you know, say your goodbyes now, I found an anchor who would hold me in the midst of the storm. And you too can know this anchor. You can know this very Savior. We need storms. I said, we need storms. I'll never forget when I came to Christ at the age of 15 years old. It was through a great storm that I had gone through for the last several years. Maybe some of you can relate, but, you know, my parents got divorced and you know, it was a hard thing for a 13-year-old kid to go through, because sometimes you think that you had something to do with it, or maybe, you know, some of it could have been your fault, or you try to place blame on yourself or on the circumstances. You just don't know why. You have more questions than answers. And in that season, I had seen my parents get divorced, and it was moments later that, you know, my grandfather passed away, and that was very tragic, you know, for my mom, for her family, for myself, and every one of us. And then it was just going to be a few months later that I would move, relocate from Idaho to Texas, and I felt completely lost. I felt completely angry because my upbringing, everything that I knew, everything that I had been raised in was taken from me, and now I was, you know, basically forced to live in this other place that I didn't really want to be. I'll be honest, I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to relocate. I didn't want to leave family and friends behind, but it wasn't my choice. It wasn't my choice, only to just have a few months go by. And then I saw my stepbrother on his deathbed. He was ejected out of a vehicle. He flew more than 30 yards and he landed on his head. He found himself literally on life support, literally, you know, with maybe seconds to live. And somehow by the grace and the mercy of a living God, I saw him get up out of his hospital bed. He was in a coma for 3 weeks, and 3 weeks later he walked out of the hospital in his own strength. And all of this storm that I was going through, it didn't push me from God. But I saw the hand of the Lord. I'll never forget this verse in Isaiah 59. It says, the arm of the Lord is not too short that it cannot save, and neither is his ear deaf that it cannot hear. In church, the arm of the Lord reached down to me and pulled me out from that storm. And he gave me life, church. And I'm here to tell somebody today, he can give you life. But the trials and the very things that you might be experiencing today are doing something in you right now. The Lord is building something in your life. And the reason why is because this isn't the last storm that you're going to face. This isn't the last storm that you and I are going to face. And so I want to encourage you and say to those of you that might be feeling alone since you came to Christ, listen, you have never faced a storm alone. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 9 says, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant, and I have chosen you, and I have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you, and do not be dismayed. He says, for I am your God. He says, I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He says, all who rage against you surely will be ashamed and disgraced. He says, those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. It says, though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. And he says, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. I don't know who needs to know this today, but God has always been the one that you have been searching for. I said, the Lord has always been the one that you have been crying out for. The problem is that you didn't find him where you thought he might be. You've sought him through religion, and that didn't work. It only angered you. It only made you mad at man, and it made you mad at God. Some of you have sought, trying to find the Lord through, or the answer through drugs, but those drugs just wore off. Some of you have taken antidepressants, but you keep getting depressed, or you've tried to find comfort in some bottle of alcohol, and you've tried everything as a coping mechanism. You've hoped for another relationship would actually work out for you. But listen, none of this is going to satisfy you. None of these things will strengthen you. There is only one who can satisfy you, and his name is Jesus. No one can give you hope except Jesus. No one can fill your life with peace that only Jesus offers. No one can cleanse your life the way that Jesus can cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Nobody. He is the end. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. He is the only source, church, that you can turn to right now to find hope in this storm. The only one. He is the only one. And I can tell you, I can testify today that he was just that for me. He was the one that I found peace in. He was the one that my heart found joy in. He was the one that cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 says this, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of rules about food or drink. He says, but it is in the realm of the Holy Spirit, filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. And so Jesus invites us into this relationship with the Holy Spirit. That is with the one who will never leave you. The one who will strengthen you in all storms. The one who fills your life with peace everlasting. He is the only one that can make us righteous to stand before God because of the life-giving blood that Jesus shed upon the cross for our sins. Amen. The Bible says that he was the one that bridged the gap of eternal separation between man from God to bring peace to the storms of our life and to fill our hearts with an immeasurable joy that gives you hope in him for every single one of your days. Jesus knows right now the very condition of your heart, your soul, and your mind, and yet he still calls you his own. He knows the very things that we are ashamed of and the very things that we have done maybe against his name or the very things that we have done to hurt someone else. And listen, he still loves you unconditionally. He still wants you even in your brokenness. He still wants you even in your times of desperation, in your times of frustration, and in your times of sickness. The Bible says that Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, that is the saints, to repentance. He says, but I have come to call those who are sick, he says, because they need a doctor, and I'm the great physician. I'm the only one that can cure that disease inside of their heart. He is still the arm, church, that reaches down to us in the middle of the storm, waiting for you and I to take hold of his right hand. And he is and he will always be our source of hope, joy, and strength in the good times and in the bad times. Amen. And so the question of the hour is this, is will you receive him today? Maybe some of you have strayed from the Lord. Will you come back to him now? Will you take this opportunity to come back to him and say, Pastor Duke, I need this. I need to remind you this morning that he is waiting for this moment. I said he is waiting for this moment right now. The Bible says that he is like a father who saw one of his children off in the distance and he didn't even consider the things that he had done and how he had wrecked his life and how many foolish decisions he made. But the Bible says instead he ran to his son with outstretched arms to receive him back. Right now, the Lord is stretching out His arms for you and I. He is stretching out to every single one of us to receive Him and to receive His embrace and to receive His love right now. The time is now, and maybe you've been in the church and maybe your heart has even grown cold for whatever reason. Listen, then today is the day to receive salvation. Today is the day to receive the life-giving renewal that can only come to you through Christ Jesus. Amen? I believe that the Lord is going to get us to the other side of this storm. I said, I believe that the Lord is going to get us through this, but at first He wants to address the raging storm inside of our hearts. He is the one that has the power to deliver us from sinking in sin. He is the only one that has the power to free us, church, when our hearts are completely bound and they are completely captive to the darkness and to sin. And I can tell you this, the Lord doesn't want you to drown, but He is our life Savior. Amen. He is the one who isn't afraid to walk into the very situation that you are going through right now and bring you hope and rescue you today. And so I want you, if you are listening to me this morning, I want you to receive this Jesus into your life. To know, church, that He is the very one. To know that He is the very one that God sent down from heaven to be man and live as man for us so that He could show us not only the way to the Father, but so that He could show us the perfection and the life-giving authority and power that only He can offer. And if you would choose Jesus today, you too could walk in the same authority and the same power and belief that Jesus walked and conquered this world with. You could be a very weapon in the hands of the Almighty God to fight against darkness in this world. He loves you tremendously. I said He loves you so much. And so today, if you would bow your head right there where you're at, and I want you to pray with me. Right there where you're at, I want you to say, Jesus, come into my heart. Say, I receive You in my condition. But from this day forward, You will change my condition. You will take this heart of darkness and You will turn it into a heart of light. I receive You today as Lord and as Savior. I acknowledge today, say I acknowledge today that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I confess today that God raised You from the dead. You are now in heaven, seated at God's right hand. You have all authority and all power over death, hell, and the grave. I confess You as my Lord, and I receive You in my heart. In Jesus' name. Father, I believe right now, Lord, that someone prayed that prayer, Lord, that they are now cleansed, they are now forgiven, God. The brokenness will soon, God, just be made whole, Lord, inside of their life. The things that they had turned to in the past, God, will be no more, God. But, Lord, You will, God, give them a new hunger, God, for You. You will give them a new desire to partake of You, Lord, as the bread of heaven, as the bread of life. And so, God, I just thank You for them, Lord, right now. Lord, I believe that heaven is rejoicing over them today, God. I don't know who it is that received You right now, Lord, but I know that You know them, God, and You have called them according to Your purpose. And Father, we pray also, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that God, You strengthen every single believer. You strengthen every single person, God, that has called upon Your name, Lord, and that knows You as Lord and Savior. That You would strengthen us in this season, God, to do exactly what Paul did, and that is bring acknowledgement, Father God, and thanks to Your name. For everything that we have. And that even though we are in the middle of a storm, we can still thank You. We can still praise You. We can still honor You. Because in the midst of this storm, God, You are doing something inside of our hearts, Lord. You are doing something inside of our lives, God, that is bursting up, Father God, a brand new thing, Lord, inside of us, God. And that is a rejoicing, and that is a joy, God, that the world cannot take away, Lord. But that is a joy, God, that will become our strength, God, in the coming days, Lord. And so I pray for every single believer today, God. Fill their heart with joy, God. Remind them, God, that you're doing a work inside of them, Lord. And that, God, when you get us to the other side, it's not if, but when you get us to the other side, God, we will come out, Father God, greater, God, Lord, lacking nothing, Lord, but, Father, being perfected by you, Lord, because you are the author and the perfecter of our faith, Lord. And so encourage my brothers and my sisters today, God. Encourage us to know, Lord, today, God, that you are still on the throne, God, and that we will make it to the other side. In Jesus' name, that we will make it to the other side. In Jesus' name. God bless you, church. Thank you so much. Listen, thank you so much for listening. I want you, as we always encourage you to do, listen, be a voice of hope. Share this message with somebody. Listen, you know, repost it. Do all the things that you know that you can do. Get this message into the hands of somebody that needs to hear it. Because, listen, the Lord will use you that way. Amen. And the Lord will count it as righteousness in heaven for your life. And he would put another jewel on your crown in heaven. I believe it in Jesus' name as we lead people back to the Lord, as we lead people from darkness to light. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.